This segment is brought to you by Jigmasters. Step up your game with high-quality performance jigs, spinnerbaits, buzzbaits, and more from Jigmasters.com. And always, when in doubt, get the jig out.
Bass Kayak and Beers is sponsored in part by Douglas Rod. Go to DouglasOutdoors.com to check out their full lineup and locate your nearest authorized dealer.
What's going on, boys and girls? Welcome once again to the Bass Kayak and Beer segment again. And we got a special guest, as always. Erin Mathis is going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. She is one of the judges for the Save JT tournament that's going on. She's also a tournament director in Utah. And we're going to be talking about how she got into kayak fishing, tournament fishing, and being a tournament director, and you know, a couple of interesting tidbits about how to fish in Utah. Never thought Utah is a bass fishing scene, but I'm pretty interested in what we're gonna learn from fishing for bass in Utah. As a lot of you know, Catherine Fields is from Utah. She actually started in this club that Erin actually directs. So it's gonna be a cool information that we're going to be sharing. And so without further ado, let's bring in Erin Mathis. Erin, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Amanda. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So Erin, before we get started on anything else, let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about you, how you got into fishing, kayak fishing, and then being a tournament director.
Yeah, sure. Funny enough, I actually didn't fish a lot as a kid, but I was always been a tomboy, played sports, always loved the outdoors. I was in Arizona, though, and with heat, not a lot of lakes around Phoenix. I just didn't fish a ton. Came to Utah, and I had went to school to be an engineer, and for graduation, I'd purchased a lifetime Tamarack before this, and caught one bass on it and I got super excited. But for my graduation, I was like, I need something more stable. You know, I want to be able to stand up in it and really start fishing. Didn't realize kayak fishing was a sport. And so I went and bought a Hobie from Scheels. And so I started kayak fishing just on my own. And somebody directed me to Kayak Fishing Utah Facebook page. And they started doing tournaments in 2018. And I joined their very first tournament, and I haven't missed one since. I was Angler of the Year the first year, and
nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun beating all the boys. And but now it's just been a blast. I did that in 2018, which qualified me for the national championship for kayak bass fishing in Louisiana. It was Caddo Lake and five surrounding lakes, and so I dedicated my 2019 to fishing Caddo Lake, and I went to California a bunch of times. I'd just gotten through a divorce, and I needed to get out and find myself, you know, what people do after divorces. And I fished probably 5 days a week, and I traveled to as many states as I could and did as many tournaments as I could. And I wasn't, you know, winning, but, you know, I did pretty well in 2019. I had a lot of fun. Mid-2019, Kayak Fishing Utah, the tournament director kind of had a couple missteps, and he didn't fish. He kind of just did it for profit. And so a buddy of mine and myself went to him and asked if he would hand the club over, and we were going to make it a nonprofit and try to expand it and make it more fun and give back to the anglers. And he very willfully gave it over. And ever since mid-2019, the club has been ours. And it's just been, I kind of stopped traveling for the most part. Running the club has taken up a lot of my time, but it is so worth it, 100%. So.
Well, kudos to you for that. And that's, I think, the mentality we need to have more and more into kayak fishing tournaments. And it's that, what you just said, you know, do it as a nonprofit organization. I have no problem with any tournament director, you know, trying to cover the costs and maybe get something out of it, you know, as long as it's reasonable. Yeah. A lot of people don't like the fact that, well, there's a membership fee and all that. I'm like, if there's a membership fee and that membership fee is going to go to a tournament director, I have no problem paying it as long as the tournament is run smooth. I mean, not smoothly because everybody makes a mistake, but it's, sure. it's run with a way that it kind of respects the game and the sport and the pastime. You know, if you're going to charge money and you're gonna, not going to do things, you know, that are not that there's mistakes because there's always mistake, but at least, you know, that it's run like legit, you know,
sure.
where there's not this, you know, kind of gray area. What's going on here? Why are the rules not being fair? Why are some rules applying to this? Why,
that exactly.
I don't agree with. But yeah. that's like, again, props to you for taking over that. And yeah, it's never easy when you get a tournament director that's not really into a sport. It's more, you know, for their own profit. And again, I don't know that person. I don't know what happened, but.
No, and he's great. And I have to thank him no matter what we went through. I have to thank him for giving us, honestly, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have found the platform probably for years, honestly. And so I'm super, because I don't watch a lot of YouTube. I'll be honest, I do now, but I didn't back then. And I just kind of try to learn stuff on my own. And you know, we do charge a membership fee, but we do things like we bought, you know, sure, I bought myself a kayak cushion as well with Kayak Fishing Utah. To me, it's promotional, but we also bought one to give away. We buy a lot of promotional things to give away. Our permits here are actually pretty hefty. So a lot of the money goes towards that. But all of that money, you know, like I said, I think I got a kayak cushion out of it. And I think we've paid for maybe one or two campsites that I wouldn't normally travel to. But we like to feed our anglers after the tournament, and I'm hauling so much stuff. So I have to bring my trailer. I bring my dog Hobie. That's her name. And, nice. Yeah. And so, with all of that, I wouldn't normally camp if I was just competing, but because I have to bring everything, sure. The club paid for one night of camping, you know, and we're very transparent about that stuff. So
that's good.
Yeah.
That makes me happy knowing that things are being run in a smooth way and it's putting the anglers first.
Yeah.
How hard is it for those of us that have never done, you know, tournament directing? And we've talked about this on the OG show with Brian Schiller. A lot of times we refer to it as being armchair directors, kind of like Monday morning quarterbacks or armchair quarterbacks, you know, for those football fans.
Sure.
What goes on into being a tournament director for your club in Utah? You know, what are some of the works and the challenges that you have to face?
Yeah, I mean, so at first our club was everybody in you. This is the reason why I took Angler of the Year. I spent the most time on the water, I believe, out of all the people that were signed up that year. I don't think anybody really knew how much they were going to want to get into it at that point. As the years progressed, these people have far surpassed me, and I'm so proud of them all. They're just incredible anglers now, and they're traveling all over the country. You know, it started off as a fun club, not to say it's not still fun, but everybody, if you let something go, most people didn't notice, hence the old director or whatever. But, you know, those of us who are a little more competitive, we were like, hey, you know, if you apply this rule to one, you have to apply it to all, things like that. But so it really is. My partner, his name's Joe Randall. He's Shoot Fish Life. He's got a lot of stuff on YouTube. He's great. But we don't get on the water sometimes till an hour after everybody launches, because sometimes people don't show up for the captain's meeting in time. And I know I feel bad, so I'll kind of stick around till they get there, or I'll have them come meet me on the water. And then at least one of us, if not both of us, will get off the water an hour to 2 hours later. The reason for that now is we were noticing that people weren't coming to the awards ceremony. Let's take COVID out of this whole thing, because that's a whole different situation. But people weren't coming to the awards ceremony, especially if they didn't win. And so even though we were giving out things at the awards ceremony and you had to be present to win, so we tried to make it more family oriented. Utah is more heavily of an LDS state. We have lots of huge families in our club, and I love that. And I want to include everybody, because we'll talk about junior league, I'm sure, at some point, but I want to get everybody's families involved. I want to get the kids involved, even their wives. I want to make sure the wives are comfortable with me, I know sometimes being a woman in the fishing world, some jealousy could happen, and it's not, you know, based on what I look like. It's just the fact that there's a woman on the water with them. So I want the wives to be comfortable with me. So we try to meet them all. We end up feeding them all, like I said, at the end. We make sure that the families are fed, the anglers are fed, and everybody has water, especially after a 100-degree summer day on the water. So it takes a lot out of us. We've got, now we went from, I think, 15 or 18 members. We now have over 80. And wow. Yeah, and you don't have to be a member to fish, but you get a $10 discount if you do, and you're in the running for AOI. So anybody can actually fish our tournament. You don't have to be an actual member. But so some of our members started getting a lot more competitive. And, you know, we've had incidences this year in particular where I was threatened to be sued at one point. You know, we handled it, you know, as gracefully as possible. Honestly, it was something that wasn't written down in the rules on my end. I said it at a mandatory captain's meeting, but I didn't DQ him when he didn't show up. So honestly, that was my fault. I didn't follow my own rules. And, you know, I had to own up to my mistake. But, you know, we moved forward, and I think we're a stronger club because of it. We were very transparent about the whole situation. Unfortunately, with one of our junior leaguers, he came out on the water without a life jacket and without a parent with him. And unfortunately, it was not his first offense. So I actually cried a lot that day. I had to kick my first junior leaguer out of our club, and it was heartbreaking to me. But it was a liability for us, honestly. So those are just some of the things that are the bad side. Now flip that around, and those are the days that I've called my buddy Joe, and I'm like, I want to quit. Let's just dissolve the company. Just, you know, I'm emotional. I've had a long day at work, whatever. But you know, the good times heavily outweigh the bad, and it makes it 1,000% worth it. So.
Yeah, that's, and like I said, it's one of those things where not everything is going to go smoothly. We have a tournament over here. Texas Kayak Championship, they went through a hiccup, and it was the same thing, pretty much a carbon copy of what, you know, based on what you just told me that happened here, and it got resolved, you know.
Yeah.
Although with a little bit of help of KPN, of course. It's always on top of all those things. But it got resolved, you know, yeah. And it happens. To me, as long as there's transparency and there's a conversation and you know, get to solve it, I think we can move past that. And totally, I think, agree. More than anything, when there's not transparency, when there's not ownership of one's mistake, whether it's an angler or a tournament director, that's when things get a little dicey, and then things get a little clouded, and 100%. That's never good. But yeah. Like you said, it's the good outweighs anything else. Now, you also mentioned that you're running a youth tournament. Tell us a little bit about the youth tournament. What's the goal with the youth tournament, and what are the expectations that you want for it as far as it's growing?
Yeah, so, you know, I actually don't really have much expectation other than I just want to get more kids involved. Unfortunately, it's mostly kids whose parents are already in the club. I mean, we promote really well, but if you aren't already in the club, you don't really have a knack, a want for tournament fishing, right? We do have a couple kids that their parents come out on the water with them. They don't fish tournaments or anything. So basically, we're probably going to adjust this in the future, but we go from ages 3 to 15. And we have a 3-year-old who goes out on the water, by the way. He took second place in our last tournament. He has his own kayak. He paddles out there. He stands and fishes on it. And then when he's three years old.
Oh my God.
He's incredible. His name's Loomis Russell, and he is one of my favorites. The most excited little redhead kid. He got his first medal this last tournament. He goes, "Look, everyone, I got a medal." It was like the most precious moment. But, you know, he fishes all day with his dad. Well, I shouldn't say all day. He fishes till about noon with his dad. And then when, like, any 3-year-old gets tired, he lays down in his kayak. His dad ties him up, and his kid Loomis takes a nap, and his dad keeps fishing the tournament. it really is a blast. So the goal really is, and thank you Dwayne Wally with TourneyX for sponsoring our juniors. We have a lot of other really great sponsors that have given us cash sponsorship. So these kids are going to get some high quality performance shirts from Threadfin Apparel, Chase Tanner's company. And then they're getting some gym. I actually just got them in the mail, some gym bag with the, we have a junior league logo on it. And so really it's just about getting the kids on the water. They fish for free. And really it's just about teaching them how to properly take pictures, submit fish, getting them the experience, and especially just spending time with their parents. That's like, I feel like that's number one, you know, just taking your kid out and spending that time with them and grinding it out with your kid. And it's just, it's a blast for the kids. They really enjoy it. And, you know, we have medals and trophies for them at the end. I introduced a junior league 5-gallon bucket. And so basically I asked all my adult anglers, please go home, find all of your unused lures or anything you want to donate. I said that we keep AOI points for the juniors. Last year, our AOI kid went home with a $500 gift certificate to Sportsman's Warehouse. Nice. Yeah. And so this year we're going to do some sort of gift certificate, but we also did this. I said, let's fill up this 5-gallon bucket and with lures, and the AOI kid will get that. First tournament, that bucket was filled. I was like, awesome. Let's fill as many more as we can, and we'll just let all the other kids split it. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. It's just get them that experience, because once they turn about 15 or so after 16 or whatever, they should be ready to join our tournaments. And honestly, some of these 10 to 15 year olds are kicking all of our butts anyway. So it really is. It's a good time.
That's awesome that you're running doing that, because I think that's very important for the growth of the sport. And one of the things that I've always mentioned on my podcast and any of the podcasts I've been on, Paddle and Fin, is like, I'm here for the sport, you know, not necessarily do I want to be recognized as a great angler and win some tournaments. Of course. Why else would I be doing here? I mean, that's not, you know, let's not be hypocrite, but more than anything, I want to see the sports grow.
Yes.
In an organic way, fair way. And there's a lot of changes coming, a lot of stuff that worries me about, you know, how it's going to grow. And, you know, now that it's gotten popular, companies and organizations that are getting involved, you know, mm-hmm. You can't stop them, but you want to make sure that at least try to have the best intentions as far as the growth of the sport and the anglers that are putting the work out there, you know, competing and traveling. Yes. But what you're doing, and by the way, shout out to Dwayne Wally, who's sponsoring that. That is big of him, you know.
It's amazing.
I know he gets, and from my part too, a little bit of criticism for, you know, some of the stuff on Bassmasters and stuff like that. But, you know, I've always said if there ever was a Hall of Fame kayak fishing, what Dwayne Wally has done with Tourney X, kind of in front of the scenes and behind the scenes, showing in for first ballot Hall of Famer. So shout out to him for that. And he's also sponsoring the Save the JT tournament, which we'll be talking about in a few minutes. I know you're one of the judges.
Yeah.
But that's great, first of all, going back in circle with the Juice tournament. I think not only does it help the sport, but it helps the kids, you know, be outside, you know, in this era of technology, when you see so many kids just get so self-absorbed with online gaming and stuff like that. You know, we need this little bit of getting them back on the water or getting them back outdoors, you know.
Absolutely. It's
one thing or another.
Yeah, we're averaging like, I think we're averaging 10 junior league competitors per tournament. I think I have 16 in my club right now. I think last year we had 8. So, it's doubled. And I just hope it keeps growing. And I hope they tell their friends and their friends' friends. And you know, that's probably been my my most, like, joyful moments is watching these kids come up and just, like, look at these medals. Like, oh, my God, you know. My adults are like, cool, another medal, you know. So I don't know. I just, it really is the greatest joy for me, and watching them pull on these fish and just get really stoked on is, I don't know. It's a blast.
So going back to being in Utah, what drove you to do bass fishing in Utah? You know, I have this concept that bass fishing in Utah is almost non-existent, but tell us, you know, tell us, for those that are ignorant about this, how is bass fishing in Utah gotten so popular? And, you know, when did it all started?
Yeah. So I actually started, one of my old neighbors, they had a couple bass boats and they took me out, and, it was the first time I ever bass fished. And I realized it wasn't just sitting there with my beer and a bobber on my lawn chair trying to pick up some trout or whatever would bite. This required technique and finesse. Utah finesse, that's all I'm going to say. You know, it took a lot of skill, honestly. You know, sure, you catch your accidental bass when you first start, but man, there was so much to learn. I think that's what really intrigued me. And even though I was catching 12-inch, 8-inch dinks constantly, it became an obsession of mine. And as soon as I got in that kayak, because I didn't have a boat, I couldn't afford one. As soon as I got in that kayak and this fish is, you know, this little 13-inch fish is turning the bow of my kayak, I'm like, this is incredible. Like, you're not going to feel a thrill like this on a bass boat, you know? And I'm not knocking bass boat fishing, because I love doing that as well. But I don't know, there's just something about doing it on a kayak. And we do have plenty of bass here. Utah does not do a great job of conserving our bass. We are very much known for fly fishing, trout state. And we have a beautiful, beautiful trout here. But we're working really heavily with the DNR to try to conserve our bass. We've been giving them some of our information as far as lengths and where they're caught. So I've been helping, using Dwayne Wally's information, given it's the DNR, DWR here. So they can kind of gauge and observe where they're being caught at. Because, you know, we've probably have, like, let's say, One of our main will have we'll say 1,000 8 to 12 inchers, and there's like maybe 5 over 18. Like, it is just few and far between. We have so many small bass, it's pretty tough. But what I've noticed too over the years, our anglers are getting so much better. They are honing in on these bigger bass, and every single year we are breaking our record as far as the largest bass recorded in Tourney X for our club. So unfortunately, the largest one is 21.75.
That's the one I caught today. We'll talk about that later too.
I was going to say, that's probably normal for you guys over there in Texas, but for us, that's
a Wednesday for us.
That's our unicorn. That's our, you know, fish of 1,000 casts right there, 10,000 casts. But, yeah, I mean, bass fishing here is great. We have smallies and largies, and we have some really, really great lakes here, and we have some not so great ones. But we do 6 to 8 tournaments a year. We're doing a charity tournament this year. We did an MLF style tournament this year, and we try to hit a different lake every time, and it kind of makes most of our lakes are bowls, like deep bowls, rocky, no trees, drop shot tubes, Ned rigging, like that. Bring that when you come to Utah. Like I'm gonna tell you something super embarrassing. I'm a TD. I've been fishing since 2018. I've never caught a topwater bass ever.
Have you tried it though?
Yes. I won't say I tried for long until this year, and I actually hooked into a frogfish for my first time. I screamed and I ripped that thing right out of his mouth. But that was the coolest experience of my life. So I won't call that a catch. I did have him on for a bit, but I lost him before he came to the boat. But that's my goal this year, is just, I'm going to take a frog everywhere I go and just throw it, even though I'm not confident with it, you know?
I imagine also the window for frog fishing is going to be a tiny bit smaller compared to
way smaller
to southern states. Like, yeah.
It's like, you know, dusk to, you know, just after sunlight, and then you got to go in the evening, and that's pretty much all you have, unless you get lucky. So,
yeah. And even on the month, you like, not only during the day, but also the season for fishing, it's going to be a lot shorter. Back to that 21 and, you know, quarter bass, I can't even imagine how old that bass must have been. A place where it's that cold, you know, where they usually hibernate on winter. Yep. That fish had to be, and I don't know the math. I read it somewhere how old they like are by region.
On 20 or 25 years old. I can't remember what it is here, but something crazy. Yeah, and we definitely practice, you know, safe catch and release here. I actually do, most people might hate me for this, but I actually do ask people, if you eat fish, keep your 12-inch bass. Please keep them. We need to get some of these guys out of here and make some room. Honestly, we've just got an abundance of the 12-inch smallies, especially, you know. So
over there, it's more like smallmouth bass or largemouth bass that's more predominant.
We're probably 50-50, honestly. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got some right. The much larger reservoirs hold mostly smallies, and then they have a small population of larges most of the time that weren't supposed to be introduced. And then we've some of our smaller lakes, Sand Hollow down in St. George was once ranked 14th in the Western United States. I don't know if it still is, but that's always like our state championship. It's our first tournament and our state championship tournament because we're still frozen up north. So we drive 6 hours down south for our first tournament and then in October for our state championship. And that one's, I think that's the one that's held our largest bass so far, is Sand Hollow. And, so we've got some really great largemouth, fisheries up north, and it's strictly largemouth. And they do a really good job of conserving there. They're much smaller lakes, like 500 to 700 acres. So they're a lot smaller.
That 21 and three quarters, was that a smallmouth or largemouth?
It was a largemouth.
Nice.
I think our largest smallmouth is a 19 here. I think I'd have to look that up.
State record?
Oh. No, I mean in KFU. Okay. Yeah, just people what I've seen submitted here. Yeah.
So the name of the club, I'm sure you mentioned it before, but it's Kayak Fishing Utah, right?
Correct. Yep. That's it.
Do you do other than bass, kayak bass fishing over there, is there any other fish that people, not necessarily your tournament, but that people targeted on kayak fishing, like trout or anything other than that?
Yeah, for sure. So
that's popular, I know.
Yeah, so we do run a month-long tournament every single month from, I think, April through October. And we do allow all species except for carp. Catfish is a big one here. And the one that our club got stoked on is at Pine View Reservoir, which is our last tournament. I think we have two other reservoirs in Utah, Tiger Muskie. And Pine View holds 50-plus inch Tiger Muskie there.
Wow.
And I fished for tiger muskie for a week straight and didn't catch a single one. I had a couple really good follows and I had one bite, but so many of our members caught these guys. We're talking 45 inches plus, and it was just a ride for them. So that's been a big hit here recently for sure. But trout is probably second. And a lot of people like to do the carp bow hunting off their kayaks here too.
Yeah, they do a lot of that. I can't stand. I thank God I've never hooked into a carp. Actually, I did once, but thank God I was fishing for sand bass. Man, that carp, I thought it was going to break the rod and it came off. But I can't stand them. I can't stand them.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It is. Yeah, but they're huge over here. It's huge carp, buffalo carps everywhere.
Buffalo carp. But, nice.
I actually caught a red drum today and I thought it was I got like a 20-inch bass, but no, it was a drum. Not a red drum, just funny. A regular, a common drum.
Drum. Was, yeah, we don't have drums here.
No, that's
no, funny. No drums.
So let me ask you probably the dumbest question and ignorance questions anybody has asked you about fishing in Utah. Now, Salt Lake City, that's a real salt lake, right? That's salt, right?
There's no fish
there. I apologize for anybody's in Utah. I know it's a dumb question, and I know I've never been to Utah. Is there any fishing in that lake?
No, I looked it up when I got here, so don't feel bad. The only thing that survives in that lake is brine shrimp.
Okay.
And I think that's like your sea monkeys. So if you ever got sea monkeys for your kids or whatever.
That takes me back.
All right. Maybe not your kids these days, but for us, right, when we were younger, I had sea monkeys for sure. But I'm pretty sure that's
I'm pretty sure those get out of a box.
Yeah. They're like dried up. It's like just add water. What?
Yeah.
Tiny. I think that's what brine shrimp are, because they're very, very, very small. You don't know, there's no fishing there. So
that's what I figured.
And again, now your table salt probably came. I was gonna say your table salt probably came from that lake, so that's about it.
Utah is a great place. I've been meaning to go to Utah for snowboarding. I love snowboarding. Oh. I always go to Colorado, but every time I get to Utah, it's not as accessible as Colorado's. You know, trying to get buy tickets.
Greatest snow on earth here. Yeah, I started off snowboarding here quite a few years ago. Snowboarding here is amazing. So.
Yeah, somebody told me that one of the reasons why it's one of the best powder snow, it has to do a lot with that lake, because I can't explain the science of it. They explained it to me, but I'm too dumb. But it has something to do with the salt in the atmosphere and the altitude and the and the precipitation makes for the best powder snow.
Yeah, we call it like the lake effect snow. And yeah, it does gives it that fresh powder. I mean, sometimes you could sink in 5 feet. So
I know I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but actually, when I lived in Puerto Rico and the airline I worked for, American Airlines, it was downsizing, so I needed to get out, otherwise eventually I was going to lose my job because it was downsizing so much. I actually went for an interview for a job in Utah. And I was excited. I was like, man, I hope I get this job, because I thought it was beautiful. I just saw the airport, though.
Yeah.
But I loved snowboarding at that time. And on my way back to Puerto Rico, I got a call that I got a job in Texas. So actually was connecting. I got off the plane from Utah, stopped in Dallas on my way to Puerto Rico. And when I stopped, I had a voice message that he had just accepted me in Dallas and I had a job. So I stopped right there, filled out the paperwork, and then I went to Puerto Rico and came back 2 weeks later. So it was funny.
Oh, nice.
I was this close to being to Utah.
Well, you're I was born in Texas. I've never really enjoyed Texas too much. I also never fished in Texas. So now that I'm older, I'd probably enjoy it a lot more. But yeah, you got the upside of the bass there for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, not a lot of snowboarding here, though.
No.
Well, we were talking about this before we started recording. Now, you guys are going through some record-breaking heat wave that I was stunned when you told me about it. I'm like, how is that? Tell us a little bit about that. And how is that affecting fishing?
We're in the worst drought we've ever seen, actually. And we hit record highs. I think it was 2 weeks ago. We hit 107 in Salt Lake City. And that is just like, I think I told you before, I'm from Phoenix. I'm used to 120, but I've been here since 2007. So I'm definitely acclimated here at this point. And I've been dying. I mean, it is just absolutely horrible, but it's unfortunate because we didn't get a lot of snow this year. Snowboarding was horrible this year. And so our reservoirs are so low. They're low and they are warm, and we are seeing a lot of dying fish right now. It's really upsetting. The bass seem to be doing okay. The trout are getting stunned, and actually our tiger muskie are having a really hard time right now. And so the water levels, we're talking 30 feet below normal. Nobody's allowed to water their yards right now, but at the same time, parking strips in between the street and the front yards are catching on fire. That's how dry it is. It's pretty scary here right now. And I'm crossing my fingers. We've had a couple semi rainy days, but we need a good storm here. It's making me nervous for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, do you live in area for, how do I say this? Like a risk for wildfires?
I do not. No, I lived in more northern Utah and moved down here just a couple years ago, but I'm more in the city now. Before, I was definitely I was right on upside of the mountain and next to a bunch of farms. So if the mountain caught fire, it definitely could have came down to where I was for sure. So yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, that's crazy. Talking about heat wave, like we haven't hit 100 degrees here in Texas. Not that I know of. I think we've come close. Maybe we hit 100 degrees, one or two, but definitely not 107. Whew. That's crazy. And it's not even – that was before July.
Sure.
It's July now, but we're talking about June that you hit 107?
Wow. Yeah, it was in June, yeah. And I think the last time we hit that was in 1964, and wow. That was recorded in July. So we're actually looking at an even hotter July. That's what they say. I'm just hoping that they're wrong. So we are technically the desert, even though we have these beautiful rocky Wasatch Mountains here, and it's still kind of greenish. Everything's turning brown now, and this is the point where we start waiting to watch the helicopters taking the buckets up to the top of the mountain to douse out the fire. So,
yeah, it's crazy. Hope everything works out and you get some rain soon and nobody
gets
severely affected by any of this.
Definitely. We'll survive either way.
But going back to talking about that 21 3/4, how old it is, I actually, you got to judge my fish today for the same JT. And you've disqualify one of my fish, which I it's my fault. Let's get that out of the way. It's funny because I was like, Daniel Purse, like, you know, your next guest is Erin Matthews, one of the judges at the JT. It's like, I know, she just disqualified my fish. I'm about to cancel her.
I know. Well, it's funny, as I knew you were Armando, and I couldn't exactly remember your last name because I think on Facebook it's you have a middle name in there or something. And so I was like, is this the same one? I immediately go to my messages and I was like, do I disqualify this? I feel so bad. And I was like, I have to.
So it was my fault. I cut off the last letter of the ID tag. And I noticed as I'm posting it, I'm like, well, you know, I just posted a fish about 15 minutes early. They can tell, you know, it's the same tag. It's just I cut off. But I was like, and it was only like a 14 and a half. I'm like, I'm just posting because it's the first day and I want to get on the board, you know?
Yeah. You would have called it no problem anyway.
I'm expecting to call it. It's a non-issue. It's funny because that's like, it took a while for you to disqualify it. I'm like, I wonder if they're like going over, like they're going to give me a break on this. And I was finally like an hour later, predictably disqualified. So it was
I had a bucket of fish that I was just kind of set off to the side and was like, all right. So I had to ask the tournament directors a few questions to make sure I was right on some of the rules. And somebody was using a fish stick by Yak Gear. And so I had to disqualify all his fish. I think he was very upset. But it was in the rules. It was in the captain's meeting.
It's like a measuring board?
It's just a measuring board, but it's one that folds up. And so they used to allow that. They allowed that in KBF last year. And we allowed it as well, but I only ever had one member that ever used it, and I hated judging on it. I just felt like you could have modified it so easily. But anyway, so I had to disqualify. He had 2 over 20, and I felt horrible, but... You know, it's like, you read the rules, man. I'm so sorry. But he was pretty upset. I figured you'd be cool about it. Right? Exactly. It is a charity tournament.
The real winner is JT.
Yes. Thank you. And so
go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No, you're right. No, you're totally right. It's just, I was talking to Ryan Lambert right before I got on with you. And we're just like, you know, what do we do about the, because there's more than one upset person, and we're just like, this is a charity tournament. There's no need to try and cheat or, you know, just, okay, this is the first day. Guess what, dude, you got 30 more days to get more fish in, and you're saving a kid's life. That should be your number one prize anyway. Who cares? Yeah. Who cares? I'm signing up tonight. I put up 6 prize packages, me along with a bunch of random people actually in Utah. And so I said, as long as we get 35 anglers from Utah, we'll give away these 6 prize packages. But I wasn't going to sign up until I got those 35 people. So now that we have them, I'm going to sign up tonight. I'm not going to submit a single fish.
Utah showing up. That's nice.
Yeah. We got to, you know, we definitely got to support it.
It's funny because in the when I was done fishing, I look up and it says largest, and it still says on the Tourney X, it says largest fish. You can't see it from here. Never mind.
Oh, I can't.
It's 21 and 75. And I was going to go on the KBM page, and I know I'm going to get roasted for it, but I figured it's fun. It creates, you know, little vibe. People talk about the tournament, not about me, but I was going to be like, you know, I'm here for JT, but I'm also here for the belt. So I'm taking name and kicking bass. And then I saw Derek Mills.
Yes.
Posted a 24 and a half. I'm like, you know what?
You know what's really funny? I had to DQ that one first because the 24 at first I had to DQ it because he blacked out the baits in the picture. So it's technically a second generation photo at that point. You have to submit the original photo. Well, he took it and scribbled over the baits because he didn't want anybody to see what he was using. And so I had to DQ it for that reason. And I said, you can revert the picture back to normal and submit that, but I cannot take this picture with this giant black, you know, swirl on it.
Yeah, because I think it removes the GPS tracking too. Like if once you edit it.
It can.
Yeah. It's funny because since Derek Miller showed me it up. I'm going to say what it is. It's the Power Baits, guys. Look, it's right here, Derek Miller, so everybody can see it. Power Baits. That's funny.
That Zoom worm.
Seriously, that's not a big secret, though.
No, I get it if maybe you rigged something like Kate talked about in her last tournament, like her Kate rig, and you don't want anybody to see.
Yeah.
Like, sure, but get it out of the picture then. That's on you, not you know.
That's funny on a charity tournament.
I know.
That's cool. I wonder, where's Derek Miller from? Shout out to Derek Miller. Great job, though. 24 and a quarter, man. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that thing was a tank. I guarantee that will not be the biggest one we see. We're going to hit 1,000 anglers. Easy. Yeah. And with 1,000 people, I'm betting we're going to see at least a 27-incher this month.
Do you imagine?
So my buddy Joe Randall and I, we went to Lake Berryessa in California for the KBF tournament there in 2019. Pre-fishing, he caught a 26.75.
Wow.
Oh my God. Pre-fishing. We could have gone home that day. That was the best day of our lives. And I didn't even catch the damn thing. So I'm excited to see some really hefty fish this tournament. I think it's going to be huge, ridiculous bags, and it's, you know, it's all for fun and bragging, right?
and I'm sure the guys from Florida, which I think Conrad Benetti, actually he just posted on KB and he's signed up, but he just didn't think he's gonna be able to fish. But anyways, those guys over there, they got a shot at, you know, they got 27 bass
absolutely
all the time, so.
And his little honey hole.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Oh, I got to give him crap. Conrad and I have.
I love Conrad. I had him on my podcast. I think he's great for the sport because he gives us something to talk about. He's a great. And I like that as much trash talking that he does, he does give props when he loses. And
I know.
So he's pretty cool.
At first, I had an issue with him because – I don't know, something was said about he could get any girl he wanted. And I went off. I was just like, no. I will never teach my kids to be like you. And like, I was like, you remind me of Michael Bates from Psycho. Like, oh my God, this whole thing went on. Like, that was me.
I remember that. He actually talked about it on the podcast. He actually talked about it. He was so upset about that. It's so funny.
And him and I are actually we don't talk like good friends, but him and I throw stuff at each other back and forth. And I adore the guy. You're right. He does good for the sport in a way that most people just aren't there. Right. We have enough humble people. Let's get them trash talkers out. And you know, the way he holds his life jacket and exposes himself to the camera. Yeah. Good old Conrad.
There's a certain point where it gets like, you know, we can get stale. Like, yes, we want to, the community to grow organically and be all inclusive, bring everybody in. But at the same point, it is competitive, you know.
Yes,
there's a certain level of trash talking that should happen in order to keep things, you know, a little spicy. Yeah. I think when it crosses the lines, when people, and I'm not talking about, you know, your scenario with Conrad, but when other people kind of like attack other people's character, you know, that to me is like, you know,
oh, no, and
tell him he's salt and fishing, but that's
yeah, it. Oh, no. And that's totally what I did. I got emotional about it because I was like, this is the first guy I've seen who's more cocky than confident. Like cockiness, get out of my life. I don't want anything to do with it. But, you know, now he's just got this, he has this role to play. And, you know, I actually love him for it. And I appreciate him and the sport, and him and I have come to terms. And, you know, I was emotional at the time, just trying to defend like women at the time or whatever. I don't know what the heck I was going through, but either way, Conrad and I are buddies now.
That is so funny. I remember him talking about it. He was so upset at Jeff and Ryan too. It was so funny because he went off and then he was like, oh, I didn't notice that they did send me a message, but I didn't see the message. I'm like, all this time you're going off on them and you didn't see that they sent you a message to come out. It's funny. But I love Conrad. I need to bring him to the show again. He's pretty
He's a good guy. I appreciate him now. You love to hate him, right?
Yeah. He grows on you.
Or you hate to love him, one of the two.
The barbarian. Oh my god, that's so funny. never got to hear the other side of the story till now. So I'm glad we got into that rabbit hole.
I'll admit when I'm being a jerk. So that was me.
I'm sure he deserves some of the slack that's thrown his way. You know, probably. You gotta, you know, once you if you dish it out, you have to be able to take it.
Yeah, right.
So talking about other great anglers, I know Catherine Fields, she started at your club and now she got third place on Champlain at the Hobie BOS. Mm-hmm. And to me, Hobie BOS is the most, I think, challenging tournament out there. The best run in my
opinion. I 100% agree. Yeah. Most prestigious, maybe. I mean, you're going up against the top anglers of the country, and these people travel all around the country just to follow the BOS. And now kudos to Kate. You know, she, I remember when she started, she was scared to kind of come out a little bit on the water. You know, she was afraid that the guys would treat her differently because she was a woman. And there was me and I probably just still one other woman in the club at that time. She might've been the third woman in our club. And, you know, we try to open her with, or welcome her with open arms. And, you know, I know she has her, the issues that she's had with her back and stuff. And actually it's because of Kate, we started offering food and water after tournaments. There was one tournament where she had severe heat stroke and like almost didn't make it home. She pulled over and like threw up and like all these things, you know, she was dealing with her pain. Plus the sun here is ridiculous. And so she definitely had a harder time at first. You know, she's queen of dinks. That's if you ever listen to anything from her beginning, she's always queen of dinks. And she progressed. Definitely. She took home, I think her first check ever was from one of our tournaments in 2019, it was 2019. It was right before she traveled. And then she just started traveling and just growing her, her arsenal of ways to fish. And yeah, Utah's definitely very proud of Kate.
Yeah. She's come a long way and her perseverance, you know, it's not just, you know, quitting your job and going out there and fishing. It's just her dealing with, you know, her surgeries and, you know, like you said, her health issues that just don't go away that easily. And it really, really affects her mobility and how she can go out fishing. So, I mean, huge shout out to her. I'm sure she's an inspiration to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
The way she's progressed, I visualize her transcending the sport, meaning she was going to be an influence to a lot of people, not just in the kayak fishing community, but out there that people that, hey, kayak fishing may not be your thing, but you may have something else you want to aspire. And she could be a great inspiration. And I'm proud of you guys too, because you kind of like helped her usher into that tournament scene, being that she started in kayak fishing Utah. So you shout out to you know, to kind of like embracing her and kind of like helping her get her feet wet, literally and figuratively, into the kayak fishing tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to think we played a part. I honestly think even if it wasn't for us, she probably would have gone that way eventually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she has, she definitely has a drive. And, you know, talking about her surgeries and stuff, this is like the most amazing thing about the kayak community. She had such a great support system. And guess what? They were all kayakers. You know, it was Christine Fisher and who else? There were so many other friends who were there to support her through her surgeries and get her through those things that and allowed her to get back out on the water and fish. And so the kayak community is just, it's amazing. I mean, look at the Save JT tournament. That's just another, you know, just to show you how much money and how many people are dedicated to helping each other out. It really is an amazing community.
Yes, it is. And again, for those that haven't heard, if you live on the rock, you're involved in kayak fishing, go check out the Tourney X tournament, Save JT. Ryan Lambert and Jeff have doing a great job of promoting mm-hmm. this and organizing this. Again, shout out to Dwayne Wally, who's there's no tourney, they're not keeping any of the Tourney X fees. Everything is going to go to the Borowka family and JT. And we can go on and on about that, but check out the podcast by KBN or the podcast that I did mm-hmm. with Jason Borowka, either one. It doesn't matter. Just listen to it and go to Tourney X and search for Save JT charity tournament and sign up if you can. It's only $50. All proceeds go to the Borowka family and helping Save JT, their young son, who suffers one of the most rarest disease and honestly, one of the cruelest disease I can think of, just because it targets at such a young age. And if you don't fish, you qualify for the drawings. I hesitate to mention the price because I'm not sure what all the prices are and which prices mm-hmm. are going to go to the drawings and which prices are going to go to the winners, you know, the placements at the tournament. Sure. But regardless, it's go to KBN page, find out what the details are. Trust me, you're going to love it. And more than anything, the real winner here is JT. So go sign up. It's only $50. And if you can't afford the $50, go to www.savejt.com. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can see it scrolling down on the bottom. You can donate, you know, whatever you can. Anything is going to help. So huge shout out to the guys at KBN for that.
I know for a fact that if you don't fish, you're automatically in a drawing for at least an Old Town kayak. I can't remember which
one. I understand. Yeah.
But that one for sure. And then there's many other prizes too.
I think it's Orion coolers. Also, there's there's going to be, for those that love hunting, there's going to be hunting and fishing trips that are going to be auctioned. And I don't think you have to participate in the tournament. So if you are looking for, you know, take part on a hunting safari or guided hunting trip or fishing trip, go check them out. And again, I don't know the details of what they are and which one. I know there are a few of them, but if you're into that, go check them out. Consider participating in the auction as well. And you might get a fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime and save JT, which is more important.
Yes, way more important.
So Erin, we've had you here for the longest time, for an hour. Thank you for what you're doing with the youth in Utah, for promoting the sport in Utah. I think it's very important that this sport grows not only in its where it's popular, but more importantly, the places that are not as popular.
Sure.
You know, that I think is very important, and not to discredit Utah and for kayak fishing, but it's obviously not one of the first places it comes to mind. But hopefully with the work that you're doing and Catherine Fields kind of elevating Utah anglers to, you know, the national stage, we can, in a few years, we can think of Utah as one of the primary hotspots for kayak bass fishing. So great job for what you're doing, and we really appreciate it. You know, we want to see the sports grow. We want to see it become bigger, better, and more prizes for those that participate. And if you don't participate in tournaments, also, you know, get out there and be on the water, enjoy something different, get out of your comfort zone.
So. Absolutely. Awesome. Aaron, well, thanks for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. I want to give you a few more minutes for you to thank anybody you want to thank. I know it's a lot of people that have been doing this, even though you've kind of been the face of kayak fishing Utah. I know there's a lot of people that you thank for the success that you're having. So go ahead and take your time.
Oh, well, thank you. Number one, Joe Randall, my co-partner. I see that dog tail in the back, by the way.
I know. She was sleeping all this time. I feel bad because I'm like, I want to open the door. And I
want to let mine's down here chewing on her foot. Hobie. Anyway, you're good. I love puppies. Joe Randall, my partner in crime with Kayak Fishing Utah. His handle is Shoot Fish Life. He has some phenomenal videos on YouTube, and he's so great. Dwayne Wally for being such a support system for my club and for my youth group. My junior league. He's been pivotal for me, and he's the amount of support. He's always there for me on the phone, no matter what. I really, really appreciate Dwayne, and you're good. And then Idaho River Sports. Unfortunately, we only have big Scheels and Cabela's, big shops here. Idaho River Sports is your mom and pop shop. They're on a pond. You can take kayaks out and demo them right on their property. And I'm on their fishing team, and they have sponsored me this year. And thanks to them, I have a beautiful Hobie 360. So Idaho River Sports, please check them out if you're in the Idaho, Utah, Washington area. We have so many sponsors this year that have just made Kayak Fishing Utah incredible. And I can't name you all, but I just want to thank all of you, especially the ones that are donating to our juniors. I know this sounds funny. My ex-boyfriend, Brian, and his two kids are in the junior league. And Brian comes with me to every tournament. He helps me set up. He makes sure I get on the water. He makes sure I'm not an angry bee. And he helps. And he cooks food for everybody afterward. And he's just been, he's our third partner in kayak fishing Utah, honestly, without it being said. So I really appreciate him and his two kids for enduring me, making them get on the water, even though they've been loving it lately. So really, I think that's it. My members, I have the best members, and without them, I wouldn't be here. So thank you guys. And thank you for having me on. Oh, I think I lost your audio. I can't hear you. No, can't hear you. Maybe is it me?
What? Oh, no, I have my mic off. I apologize. Since I have my lovely dog kind of far above me, I'm trying to, you can hear her footsteps. I'm like, let me open the door and get her out while you were talking. That's why you would hear it if you're not watching. If you're just listening, not watching on YouTube. Erin was laughing mid to her, you know, credits. And I'm trying to open the door and get the dog out of the room. So she would have came interrupted. I forgot to turn my mic off. So thank you. And I'm also going to say thank you for coming to the show. It's an honor to have you on the show.
I appreciate Paddle and Finn. I think this is the third or fourth, do you call them segments of Paddle and Finn that I've been on. And you guys have always been so great and keep inviting me back. And I'm just very thankful. So.
No, we appreciate it. And again, we appreciate all the great job that you're doing out there. So anyways, for those out there listening, I forgot to ask you, what you brought it. You're a wine girl, but you brought a beer
to the
podcast. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Which one is that
This is a Utah. Yeah, this is a Utah beer. So Spiral Jetty. I don't know when it was created, but if you go up northern Utah, there's actually a spiral in the Great Salt Lake. When the water is down, it is made out of thousands and thousands of rocks. And it is like a perfect spiral. No idea who made it or when. It is the most beautiful landmark you'll ever see. But this is an IPA, and it's delicious. So.
Nice. And it's like a 40 ounce too. Like,
yeah, I had to go big or go home. I'm off for the next 4 days.
Kind of like set the bar high for my next guest. It's like, yeah, you're bringing a 40 here.
Nice.
Nice. Erin Mathis bringing on her beer game to the podcast. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So for those out there listening, thank you so much for joining and for listening. And if you made it this far, go check out Douglas Rods. Go to douglasoutdoors.com. Check out their full lineup, the X-Matrix and the LRS rods. They also make fly fishing rods. For those Utah guys that are girls, I'm sorry, that are listening to the podcast, we got some great fly fishing rods here in Douglas. So go check them out as well if you love fly fishing. If you're going to be on the water, please wear your PFDs. Yes. Stay safe. And make sure you make it back to your loved ones at home. So, Aaron, if you don't mind, stick around. We're going to close it out. And again, thank you for everyone. I am stalling because I lost the closer video. So I'll just pretend I'm talking about something. Where we go? There you go.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
We got the
Thanks close. For tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.